Welcome to another episode of Lifelong Learner. This is the Out of Class Edition with Ben, Janesh, and Matt. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Lifelong Learner. Welcome, Matt. Welcome, Benny. How are we doing?
Good to see you, boys. Really good to be back on.
Yeah. Good morning, lads. Yep, also excited to be here.
It's been a little bit since our last one, and we're recording on the 20th or 21st of Feb, so nearly 60 days into the year, and it's I'm not sure about you two, but it's definitely gone quick for me.
It has, Maddie. I mean, I know you're an Indo, so it's a bit different, but Janesh, the mornings are dark.
I know. I woke up this morning to go for a run, and I'll completely own it. I was like, nah, I'm going for a walk. I was like, yep, but I woke up thinking to get going at 6, and it was dark, and I was like, no, this is February. We should still have light till March, and I wasn't in the mood to run. I was like, I'll go for a walk instead.
So just to be clear, have we got daylight savings in March as well?
I thought it was April, but I may be wrong.
That's what I mean. So we've still got daylight savings in March. It's going to be even blacker because I ran yesterday in the dark at 6 o'clock, and yeah, I was running and I'm thinking, I can't see where I'm running because it's so black.
7th of April is when we, yeah, spring forward.
Speaking of running, Janesh, you are looking just a little leaner, a little tidier. I can only see your face, mate. I have got the Warburton race event coming up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. Don't say two. That scares me a little bit.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yes. That's why I'm wearing black and I took a shave so I look slim on the camera. Okay. And I've got my special filter on. So that's why it's shoulders up.
Look at us all wearing black.
We are all wearing black.
Like we planned this. Adjust it so you can't see the evolve symbol.
I don't want you to see my symbol, my Mornington Peninsula Chiropractic 1987-85.
So the quote there on your T-shirt says, "I'm well adjusted." Based on pre-off-air comments, Ben, I don't think you are well adjusted at the moment. Maybe you need to book yourself in for adjustment. What's been going on in your world? And we talked about coming to the table with a charge, and right, I can sense through the camera, mate. What's going on here?
Well, mate, it's interesting. I was listening to something yesterday, and a big shout out to my good friend Jordan Pedersen, who's got a great podcast as well. And it's a really interesting podcast for viewers, you know, when you're wanting something to fill the space between the Lifelong Learner Out of Class podcast episodes. Because he interviews guests, but he's kind of not really interviewing them. He's doing a counselling session with them. Like, it's very, very interesting. So he reflects back to them what they're saying and gives insights, and it's really interesting. And they ask him questions. You know, so what should I do about my marriage then? And blah, 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 blah. So really interesting. He was interviewing Chris Blumstead, who, of course, is 5 times world champion bodybuilder. And he said something, he said a few things that were really interesting, but one of the things that he said was, it's not your position, it's your trajectory that matters. It's not your position in life, it's your trajectory that matters. So what he's saying, of course, is, you know, it's not like where you stand amongst others. It's not like if you're a beginner at doing something, it doesn't matter. Because if you're a beginner, you're going to suck. You're going to make a fool of yourself. That's how it's meant to be. And it doesn't matter. What matters is your trajectory. Where are you heading? What mission are you on? And are you growing? And do you want to grow? Do you want to keep stretching yourself? And I think for me, the charge I've had is just that there's some people in my world recently that are not doing your position and it's your trajectory. They are looking at their position and they're feeling inferior. And if they've already got low self-worth and low self-confidence and low self-belief, and they compare themselves to others, they're in a world of pain. And so they've got that. And then secondly, they don't have a growth mindset. Hence, they have low self-worth, low self-confidence, and low self-esteem. They don't have a trajectory. They really want to stay where they're at. And you combine those two things, and you just don't get the best out of people. And those people often go looking for something else. They think the grass might be greener on the other side. But I've got to tell them, if you're listening, unfortunately, when you get to the other paddock, you're still there. So this is the challenge for most people. I hear parents saying, "Oh, my kid's not doing great at that school. I'm going to shift schools." And I say, "Look, the only catch is your kid's going to be at the next school." And you guys would see this in the work that you guys do.
How do you, so sorry to cut you off, Benny, how do you think people can somewhat take their blinkers off, right? Where they think it might be 100% environmental. When it's not, right? It's not always 100% environmental. There's a portion of environmental, but there's also a high portion of self. How do we encourage our listeners to take those blinkers off, right? And in the last 2 years, 3 years, in Australia, you look at just even the labour market, there has been this great resign, right? When people are going, look, I'm going to go chase the dollars. I'm going to go to ABC because grass is greener. And I think in time, once it equalises, that's going to have a rude awakening. But the grass may be greener in terms of dollars, but in terms of environment, culture, and how you see yourself, that's always going to stay the same. So how do we encourage people to take those blinkers off?
Mate, I don't think there isn't going to be a great equalisation. This is the best time ever when it comes to the labour market. It doesn't get any better. As an employer, it just doesn't get any better. It's only going to get worse. And if you're in some countries, if you're like in China, if you're like in Japan, they are retracting every year in numbers. Their young population, and as a nation, they are contracting. They've got more people carking it than they have got people being born. Now we're fortunate in this country. We don't have more people being born, but we are importing. We have a strong immigration policy in Australia. We are an incredible lucky country. We have all the natural resources. We've got plenty of space, and so we are immigrating. And so our numbers in Australia are growing, and the people that are shifting here are people that want to work, and they're in that work category. They're tax-paying people, and I think we're incredibly lucky in this country that we do have immigration. I know it's a challenge for many of us, like sometimes, but there's a real benefit to it in this country. And so, but still, in this country, employment for and the number of employees out there, it's going to get trickier. So, but I guess we're not. I guess we're not really talking about this from an employer perspective, but it's the employees,
But the individual, how do we bring, and even for you, Matt, as well, how do we encourage an awareness to go, hey, look, maybe look in the mirror first, as opposed to taking the mirror and like shining to everyone else, right? Go, hold on. Because when you move, as you said, move workplace, move school, move suburbs, at times even move relationship, it's like, fuck, how do I find myself in this same situation? And you're like, well, hold on, what's the common denominator? It's yourself.
I'm going to chime in because last night Kat encouraged me to watch Married at First Sight, which I've just put my foot down. I'm like, I don't want to watch this rubbish, right? I don't want to fill my head with this. It's crap. But she got me with the psychology. She's like, oh, but the psychology is interesting, the analysis of human behavior, of patterns. And I'm like, okay. And I watched it for a little bit. And there's this character in there that is just completely unaware, the victim, and just treating this guy who's gentle, sensitive. He's probably, he could man up a bit. Probably, some of the lads, if we were hanging out, would say, mate, you got to toughen up a bit. But he's a gentle, nice, really kind guy. And this girl's just, they're in this triangle. I mean, sorry, this cycle of drama. And she's completely unaware that she's causing it, right? She's avoidant and just pushing him until he explodes. And then she uses that as a, see, it's your fault. And And I'm sitting there with Kat, and it's so obvious. She just hasn't looked at herself. She doesn't take any responsibility for anything. And I think that that's quite a consistent thing at the moment. When you think about social media, it's all about outward. How do you look from the outside? You know, what are you portraying to the world? People are too scared to look at themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there are two things that change people. One, your environment has a big influence. Something new enters your life, it can cause change. But more consistently, it's something that changes within you based on reflection. And I think maybe that's what's missing, that people aren't reflecting and asking themselves, yeah, is it me? Is there something I could change? Am I possibly causing this reaction in others? So it's always, you know, pointing the finger.
Ego doesn't want you to look in the mirror because it's fucking ugly. Reflection is ugly.
Right. And ego gets in the way, right? Ego is like the dirt on the mirror that goes, oh, no. It's like a, maybe clean the mirror, right? And I've been victim of that too. I've gone, guilty of that. Right, I'm aware of the language I just used. But ego's this dirt on this mirror and goes, oh, no, that looks really good. I'll look in the mirror, but it looks really good. And it's like, clean it. And when you were saying, Matt, about taking responsibility, what's it? Jocko Willick's got a really good book, and I keep referring it to a few clients. Extreme Ownership, right? That everything is your responsibility. In some shape or form, take it, and then you'll see if you and people around you start doing that, like, it's like, hey, what can I do better? It's like, there's no blame game. Super fascinating model. I think it might be utopian if everyone's to do that, but in terms of small niches, or what can a 1%er do, or what can one little unit do in terms of family unit, business unit, friends unit, super fascinating. And we've gone, like, kind of taking ownership of everything.
It's interesting. I was contemplating this as I was driving yesterday. Like, why have I had such a charge on this? And I think it's because, I'd like to think it is, and I think it is. It's because I care. It's because I actually care about these individuals. And so, therefore, why do I have a charge? And I think there's a fear in there about, well, if I do care, how is it that I haven't been good enough to show them, to teach them, to encourage them, to build their self-worth in the time that we were together? Where have I failed? We're like, what am I doing wrong about that? I guess it's like a parent, if you saw your child and they had low self-worth and low self-confidence, and you just go like, wah. And so you would have a charge on that. You would be taking that personally because you do care about your kids. And I care about my team, and I care about the people that are in my inner circles. And I think that's why I have a charge on it. I think that's why it pisses me off. Because I just see so much potential. You know, I had a lady apply for a position recently, and you know, she did so many things right, but I could just see in her that life had beaten her down. And I looked at her and I thought, at one point you were just a beautiful little girl that had hopes and dreams, that dreamt of being a princess, living in a castle with a prince, and, you know, and you used to play home, you know, and you were making tea and, you know, and baking cakes and, you know, doing all the things that kids do, this pretend world and living this dream. And then here you are, like 20 or 30 years later, and it just hasn't turned out that way. And the dreams have gone and the hopes have gone, and your level of self-worth has completely disappeared. And it just makes me feel sick. Like, just it really upsets me to see that, because I know she could do it. I know she can do it. I know she could turn around. I know with the right, you know, doors being opened, she could be in a different place, because through her life, doors have closed and been slammed in her face, and she's put meaning to that. And I just know it can be turned around. And I think that's what pisses me off. I think that's why I have a charge. How do you guys go, you know, dealing with youth and seeing not the 5 or 6 year old with hopes and dreams, but seeing the, you know, the 12 and 13 and 15 year olds where you can see there's been a few doors slammed and they've started to give up. How do you guys feel about that? What does that mean to you?
I think for me, it's not the 15-year-olds anymore. It's the 18, 19, 20 to 25. Like, I've just come out of training with the summit, so I've been focused on that cohort, you know, the young, just left school coaches. And yeah, it's hard to see sometimes when you see so much potential, but yeah, it's clouded by that. Yeah, that victim almost, like, it's hard to watch because there's three ingredients, I believe, that lead you to success. It's skill, character, and belief. And if you have those three things, then you're going to be able to navigate any challenge. And I really believe in that. And there are three things you can learn from just experience. You don't have to just live your life. And if you've got good feedback around you, good people around you who will offer the truth, who love you, or, you know, they offer feedback from a place of love, not criticism, and you're doing your own self-reflection, then I tell people you can have anything you want. It won't be easy. But when you see someone with very low belief, they're only 20, you know, don't have character. So instead of taking responsibility and they have the character to take a hit, oh, it's really hard. Particularly when they're from the outside, they've got everything going for them. It doesn't matter, right? Like, you can have a kid who's, you know, maybe not as physically well endowed, who's not, you know, gorgeous, and you can have a gorgeous kid side by side, a young person, and they're both like the same struggle, you know, like, just hard to watch because you know how it plays out. And I think as well, the reason why I'm charged with it is I had to come through that myself. And so when you see others not like charging through it and taking responsibility, it's hard to watch because it does trigger something in me, that part of me that, you know, there's a fork in the road for us all. Do you take responsibility or don't you? And that sort of determines your life. So I'm with you. You know, I relate to what you're saying with your staff, that it's hard. It's charging. But it's part of it, right? And I think as well, the thing that helped me, sorry, this is a long-winded response, is that they either learn it with you or they learn it later. At some point, everyone learns it. And sometimes, yeah, you have to learn from a failure.
I don't think everyone learns it. I don't think they do. You look at people around you.
Given the opportunity to learn it over and over and over again, but they don't necessarily learn it.
So I got a question.
Learn it or die without learning it? I feel like you may be on your deathbed, you learn it, which is really ultimately sad, right? Because you learn the lesson, don't get to live it. I don't know.
Like we say, all three of us in our own individual coaching practices, that if the person is not ready to be coached or want to be coached, it is nearly impossible, right? It's nearly impossible. I don't accept anyone that doesn't want to be or not even willing to put in a glimmer of the work. Maybe not 100% of the work, but I say a glimmer for those that are resistant at the start. And it is hard, right? And on the opposite side of that, what can we do to, as Ben, you were saying, to that little child, how do we keep reigniting? I think it is our responsibility to keep reigniting those dreams, right? Because there's not many people in, I'm going to take just Victoria, I was going to say the world, but that could be a really large statement, but probably that do that intentionally and do that with no intent for reciprocation, right? I think there's not enough of that happening. And it's interesting, but my question is, when do you, not give up, but change your meaning on something, because it's like, this is not getting anywhere. This is not serving, right? So I'll give you a real life example. I sit on a committee on a board, and I'm biting my head up against the wall, right? Like, there is no meaningful change. It's run like a dictatorship. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm out of it. And I'll play a different role with that organization, right? Having said that, seeing other people, like other peers, the other day, they're like, no. Like, they've kind of reignited. They go, no, you need to go up and get reelected. And I said, nah, I don't want to see it anymore, because I don't see light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see their meaningful change, right? Like, I'm super passionate about, it's a education, right? So I'm super passionate about the education system, but how do we do some meaningful change there? But it's like, this for me, that wasn't the vehicle. But it's interesting where you got people championing you to say, hey, no, look, you should still continue that. And so when do you know, when do you know to go, that's not for me, and let's go down a different vehicle? And are people doing that? Or they're not. They're just going, nah, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to live a mediocre version of myself. And also the other part of that is, how do we continue to reignite these hopes and dreams, right? Hopes and dreams and sparks for the people around us.
I think there's it's a continuum of pick your battle, right? I think there's battles you pick and there's battles you don't. I feel like there's a continuum there. I think, mate, what you should do, though, I think you should go for election and become the dictator in the dictatorship. That's what I'd be going for.
I'd really flip the script.
Yeah. I think there's a continuum there. I think one of the things we do as coaches, and the reason we are coaches is because we are these kind of people. This is just kind of, you know, this is just who we are, and we're fortunate enough to be able to have a job that reflects who we are, and that is to have a bigger vision for our clients than they have for themselves. You say to a client, like, where do you want to go? And they go, oh, I'd like to go there. And you go, that'd be awesome. But what if you could go two steps further? Oh, what would that look like? That's our role as coaches, and we bring that into our world. We bring that into the world of our children. We bring that into the world of our partners, our peers, family, team. We have this slightly bigger vision for them than they have for themselves. And I just think that's who we are. But then there comes a point where you got to pick your battles, I think, and there's a continuum to that. It's like the continuum, the battle that I'm sure all three of us face, I certainly know I face it, is how much do I save and how much do I spend? How much should I save for the rainy day and how much should I spend to enjoy life now? Like that, it's like a sliding thing that just keeps like drifting back and forth, and I'm trying to find the right place. Today, should I have that coffee for $6 or should I save the $6 and put it in my retirement account for later on? Like, you know, there's that battle. And I think that slide of picking your battles, I think there's a slide there. What do you reckon, Matty?
I really just enjoyed the way you're articulating that, to be honest. Yeah, I relate to it. I think, as you said, like using the battle analogy, and people have a real challenge with the idea of surrender. I noticed when you coach people on this notion of surrender, people, they have this idea that that's failure, that's giving up. And actually, it's sometimes tactically the smartest thing you can do. Don't fight a battle you can't win. Reserve your troops, reserve your energy, and come back in a different setting. And I think that idea, that philosophy works with people too, right? Like if you're having some kind of coaching session and you're hitting a wall, and that, you know, potentially those questions aren't leading to a different perspective, then surrendering and allowing sometimes can bring about a different result.
It's a question for you. What if I surrender, and then I get pulled back into the fold, and then you question, okay, like, and again, in case point with this committee, he's like, I'm done, like in a good way, like, I need to cut ties. I'm good. And there's other people in my position. They're like, oh no, you can't be done. Your work here is not finished. The head person probably doesn't feel that way, but I'm like, oh, it just doesn't. It doesn't really work. And it's like, it's interesting because this group knew how to pull my strings and were like, think about the students. And I was like, oh, don't do that. I can think about the students in a different vehicle. But how do you know when to stop? If you truly believe things are not going to change, right? And you go, does it matter? And you go global. You go global and then you go...
local.
Yeah, local, right? You go, so I'm thinking... a whole education region sector, right? That's thousands of families and students, right? And then I go, well, let's just bring that in and go, what can I do for my two children? And go, because I'm done with this a little bit, because it's doesn't seem like anything's happening. I think it seems like people don't get it. People want to keep people inside and not outside and contained, and you're like, hold on, there's research and stuff that's saying like you need to get students outside, you need to get students moving, like them keeping them contained is not keeping them quote unquote safe. I know there's a high youth and young people from prep age to year 12 that got high levels of anxiety. I hear that and I appreciate that, but it's not a and again, psychologists out there probably hearing this and going, look, they're wrong. It's not like a anxiety coat for a dog, right? Like
I think so, hopefully they're going to agree with us that often exposure is the answer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like avoiding the things that we're scared of don't make the things you're scared of go away.
But you've got this institution saying this, so then what do you do? Would you go, I'm not gonna feel like I'm beating my head against the wall here? And you know me, I don't mind healthy conflict, and it's like, this is conflict that doesn't, it's like a bloody fucking record. It just goes round and round and round and go, did you not learn about this fucking last time? Because we're on the same circle here, and I'm like, it's the same pattern playing out through different things. So when do you completely surrender? And does that look like, right? So we're talking about the side here. Does that look like, hey, Dinesh's hopes and dreams are gone? Hey, let's reignite them. And you're like, well, fuck. My hopes and dreams are gone for a good reason, because I'm fucking battled and I'm tarnished, and I'm like, fuck this. Let's do this. Maybe I need to put my effort and energy into something else. Yeah. And how do I focus on local level as opposed to a larger scale? What are your thoughts on that?
Great question. I would go back to what is the result that you're after? You know, you want to be clear on the why, because when you withdraw or retreat, it's for a purpose. It's to create space. It's to enable things to play out a certain way. You can analyze from a distance. You're not as reactive. You can be more, more present and observant, and potentially see things that you wouldn't otherwise. But I do think surrender's for a purpose. Is it to surrender and walk away, or is it to surrender and come back and try a different approach?
Originally it was to walk away. I was like, let's be selfish and look at like an inner unit, as opposed to going, hey, look, we can spread that to a larger on a larger scale. It was like, I think we're done here. We're done here. And how do I influence it on a smaller scale?
Yeah, I guess for me, like going to a real micro, and that might be meaningful to you, is that, you know, with that one staff member, I found that I want them to have the breakthrough and we're doing all the things for them to have the breakthrough. But actually, I realized the breakthrough was no breakthrough, no change. They stay the same. And then that was the breakthrough. You know what I mean? It was, if you don't change, nothing changes. Leave them with that. And I realized the power in my job is just to facilitate. And if there isn't something being facilitated, it's because nothing's happening. And then I just communicate that back. Do you know what I mean? So it sounds like with this, super challenging because you've got, I don't have a lot of time for meetings that do this, that air out problem and just go round and round and round. And you know the people who they identify with problems because it makes them feel
significant.
Significant, yeah. That's really, really challenging for me when there's no solution orientated discussion, when it's just problem. And if I was in that situation as well, I'm the same as you. I believe all kids should be outside. I think we should cut workload and study in half and get them experiencing more outside. And when you hear things like policies where they're saying get rid of PE or get rid of outdoor education, oh, it'd be so hard for me to sit in that room and hear that. So I don't have an answer for you. But if you're not going to do it, is someone else?
Yeah.
And sounds like
how do you do? How do you reconcile that? How do you make that decision?
Become the dictator. I think that's Benny's solution. Be the one that wields the sword.
Fuck. I don't want that.
Yeah. One of the things that when it comes to pick your battles, particularly for me, and maybe because I'm maybe a bit more selfish, but I think about my circles and I've got my inner five. And we all have a five, actually, whether you got, there's just that inner five and you'll die for them. And then there's another layer outside that, which is the 15. These are people that are close, people that know your secrets. They might not die for you, but they'll be there for you and you'd be there for them. Then there's the next layer, which is the 50. And these are people that you kind of know well, you catch up, they're on the dinner party list, they're on the birthday party list. There's this 50 and they're still your people. There's another layer outside of that, which is the 150. And then there's another layer outside of that, which is the 500. If we get to the 500, it's kind of like people you've met. And if you pass them in a street, you might stop and have a, "Gay, how are you going? Good to see you." Move on. You might even not remember their name, right? But there's these 500 people. And so I just go, for you, Janesh, it might be the next layer out, which is 1,500. You know, you're there doing what you do because of the impact it might make to the 1,500. But the energy and time and money and sanity that you put into that, sometimes we're doing that to the sacrifice of the inner five. Or the 15 or the 50. If you put that time into the 50, your people, that is, instead of going to the committee meeting or whatever it might be, or doing the extra work with a team member, you actually spent that hour with one of your inner 50, having a coffee catch up or catching up for dinner or going to a movie with them or whatever it might be, it'd be time better spent. So for me, I just think about like, where are they on my circles? And I got to look after the inner five. Certainly the 15 and the 50. That's kind of, yeah.
I really love that, Ben, because I literally yesterday had a little, I was watering the garden, right? It was super hot before the storm hit. I was watering the garden and I ended up watering the plants that I always water, passion fruit, lemon, and I just mowed all the lawns. I was like, the lawn looks a bit dry. So I just started watering it. And you know when you start, then I want it complete. So I just watered that whole one and then I went downstairs. I just watered everything around me. It took me about half an hour and Dad loved it because it's his house. I'm renting from him. And I just had this realization. I'm like, how often do I water the garden? I don't do it very often. And then that led into this thought of exactly as you said, often we're so busy, treating those that aren't close to us really well. And then we come home, we're exhausted, we're frustrated. And the ones that we love the most, the ones that are there for us the most, don't get the best of us. They're also the ones that give us honest feedback from love. they say the harsh things that are really hard to hear. And so they're the ones that often get the reaction out of us, the ego defending itself. I literally wrote down here, why not water the garden, cherish close relationships and water them with time and energy? And yeah, it just makes sense. So hearing you say that, yeah, water your garden, because that's the thing that you live around. And that's the thing that fuels you. You know, when I open my door and I look outside and it's lush and it's green, that's sustaining. And so that was my focus yesterday was, yeah, cat's my partner. So I'm going to do what I can to nurture that. So I just went out of my way to do a couple of things for her. And it instantly gives back. You know what I mean? Like Janesh, with this organization that you work with, it sounds like it takes a lot from you without giving much back. And it becomes very hard to sustain. Whereas when you, and you mentioned this too, when you work on locally, there's automatically a give back. It's the same with charity. When I give a surfboard to a kid in Indo, I see the gratitude. There's this magical physical, you know, exchange that's so powerful versus just giving 5% charity and being completely disconnected from it.
And so, and maybe it fuels you, but on top of that, you're giving that board to one of your people.
Yes.
You're not going to just put it on the shelf. Like, you could have this out of 1,500 that aren't necessarily surfers, but you want them to be surfers, and so you give them boards and they all just take it home and put it in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Versus one of your people, the inner 50, you give the board to, and he's not only grateful, he actually uses it. You know, I think one of the things I've often said is, you know, there are so many people out saving the whales.
And their house is not as in order.
Their house is a pigsty, including their own internal home. You know, they're overweight, they're unhealthy, they're, you know. There's a guy that I see who knows who's listening to the podcast, so you've got to be careful.
Mate, you're not the one to pick your words, mate. That's usually my job here. Don't mention names, mate.
He and his partner have this business, which is health coaching, right? And he wants to tell me about these six key principles that this guy founded around health. And they're called the PRODA principles or something like that, right? Stands for something. And, mate, every time I see him, he's sitting, smoking, drinking coffee on his laptop. He's overweight. I see him at Macca's when I run past.
And he has a health coaching business.
A cigarette. Sorry?
And he has a health coaching business.
He owns a health coaching business, right? And he's often saying, you know, we get people to change and, you know, and I go, oh, like.
It's not very congruent. Mate, just
imagine if you put all that time and energy into you first. And so, yeah, and there's that equation that I often talk about, the time and money, energy and sanity, those four resources. The amount of that we put in must be less than the amount of money, return on investment we get back, plus the personal development, plus the lifestyle, plus the future benefit.
Mm.
So if we add up money, lifestyle, future benefit, and personal development, we add all those up. So some might be low, some might be high. They must be greater than the amount of time and money, energy and sanity we put into something. So for you, Janesh, when it comes to this organization, for the time and money, energy and sanity you put in, are you getting more money back?
Mm.
Are you?
Nah.
Are you getting more personal development back?
Little.
Is any significant personal development?
Nah.
This bit.
Nah.
Lifestyle?
No, it's pulling time away.
Future benefit?
Yes.
You get a bit of future benefit?
A little bit.
Yeah, but enough to counteract the amount of time.
Oh, nah, that's what I'm leaning to. Nah, exit.
Done. Right? Yeah. Done. It's simple. It's done. It's done. As long as we do something, no money, no, you know, this is why we have children, right? No return on investment money-wise, no lifestyle benefit. So there's plenty of personal development when you have kids. But the main reason that drives us through it is the future benefit. That is, we get to leave our genetics behind.
And you get someone to look after you, possibly, or care for you when you're in a place where you can't care for yourself.
If you live in Indonesia. Not in Australia.
But again, that is something that you can cultivate in your own family, right? that used to be something that we would all.
It's a very much a. It's interesting. It's a Eastern and a European, right? It's like an Eastern and a European culture where you do look after your olds. You don't necessarily send. It's interesting that like American, UK, Australian, like don't. It's not part of the. It's not part of the culture.
But have a look. Follow the money. Sorry to be the cynic, but at some point they don't make any money, and we've been convinced chuck them in an old person home for 15 grand. It's pretty. Well, maybe I'm being too skeptical there. But I think, as you said, imagine if you focus on the local and you take care of your own, because really, the only people that care about your people are you and your people. Like, the government doesn't really care about Ben, Logan. You know what I mean? So it really does make sense to take care of your family, to invest in those closest to you, as you said, Ben. And yeah, I think that also, you know, is what you were saying, Janesh, around the future dreams. When people are investing in their own people and all the people around them are happy and those people have hopes and dreams and you're encouraging their hopes and dreams and you're chasing your own, I think that's one of the greatest ways to inspire others. Because if you go after what you want, then the 50 people that are connected to you, that like you, that cherish you and respect you, they are all inspired. Oh, if Matt can do it, I can do it. And I think maybe that creates more change than sitting in a room with 100 influential people who all, you know, are there to create future change.
It's good, boys. Conversation. What's our take homes? What's our little wrap up as we come to the end?
Oh, let's just do another hour. This is great. Let's do the Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast. Oh, when do we do one of those?
Yeah.
Kick back with a cognac. Oh, I don't drink anymore. Either does Ben.
Are you zero now, Matt?
Yeah, like it takes a special occasion. I can have a drink, but yeah, once you decide alcohol's poison, it's very hard to have that drink.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be. When I say drink, it's really just an excuse to hang out for an extended period of time. I'm going to lead because, Ben, you triggered the thought, and I flick back to my book and it's written here. And yeah, I want that to be my focus for the next in 2 weeks, I guess, until we do a podcast again. And that's water the garden. Yeah, invest in those closest to you. I think you said that. I think that's so valuable to think about the 5 closest people to you, the 10, the 15, you know, they're your tribe. And are they getting the best of you? Are you going out of your way to water their hopes and dreams? You know, there's so many ways that you can light people up in your world, and we just don't take the time. Like, just a simple note put in someone's shoe, or like, imagine if you just change the way you look at those people closest to you, and you spent a day with no other focus other than to light them up. So today and for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to keep that at the forefront of my mind. How am I watering the garden? What am I actively doing to nurture and nourish those around me?
What about you, Jay?
And so I think it's twofold. I think, I think we go on the first, that notion of those circles, Ben. I think if you take from 1,500 put here, and then you may go back to the 1,500 at some point, but I think it's to reassess if it's not giving you any sort of benefit, that time, energy, money that you're spending on that, imagine if you were putting that somewhere else, right? I think that's hit home. And the second one is, I think from the start, I think it's our responsibility to keep reigniting people's flames without attachment. Like, we're saying all these people are beaten down, and you know what? Once upon a time, they did have hopes and dreams, right? Like, I think it's, there's not enough people championing them, right? I know you two quite well, and I know our circles quite well, and a lot of our circles are, yeah, intertwined. And I think we're without sounding pompous, I think we're quite fortunate of our circles that we have a lot of people in our corners that champion us, right? That when we do get a little bit beaten down, like they go, hey, look, remember that? Remember your hopes and dreams? I don't think a lot of people out there have that. And how my takeaway is, like, how do I do that personally for everyone that I come in contact with without being attached to their outcome? Like, I don't care if they do it, but how do I give them, how do I share a spark? Or how do I go, you know what, like, if you put your hands around a little flame, it actually makes that flame bigger. Like, how do we do that? Again, I don't know the answer to that, but that would be my takeaway. How do I incorporate that to my daily, into my daily?
I love the without attachment part of that. I think that's a really, really great distinction, because if you're attached, then it's not for them, it's for you.
It's for you, yeah.
And that's where we get stuck, right? You get sucked back into your own ego. You start making assumptions. It's because I'm not worthy. It's because I'm not good at what I do. And it just, it turns something positive into something very married at first sight-ish, you know, dramatic. And you've forgotten your role. So I think that's just a great reminder. The same with the water in the garden. Don't do it for an outcome. You know, just do it because that's what you're going to do. I like that distinction. That's really, really cool.
Benny, what's your takeaways, man?
Hard to follow such incredible insight.
I really like his reflection back around the watering of the garden, you know, that there is a limited amount of water and time to water. Where do you want to spray the water? Like, if you had X amount of water and X amount of time, what would you water? Would you water the neighbor's lawn or water your own lawn? You know, so like, yeah, I like the idea of that and putting some focus into that. I think one of the things that I think is really interesting is the idea that if we look at, and I'm going to go on a slight tangent here, but if we look at dogs, and different breeds of dogs, they have different characters, different personalities. And breeders know that you can breed that personality into a dog. Now, at some point, all dogs had the same personality. And some dogs made some different choices and became a different character. And then they had ups, and those dogs somehow inherited some of that character. And I think that's true for humans. I think that as we develop our character, too late for me now, because I'm not going to get it to pass those genes down, whatever character I had when I decided to pass my genes down, my kids have inherited some of that character. You know, we talk about nature and nurture, but I think that there is a nature that we get to pass down to our kids.
For sure.
And we get to develop our character. We get to shift our genetics up to the time when we start reproducing. And so it is so important for our youth to get their character. It is so important to help build that sense of self-worth, et cetera, and self-confidence into our youth, because they're going to pass that down. You know, and I think for Maddie one day maybe, and certainly for you and I, Janesh, what we now have is the opportunity to foster the character in our kids, build their character, build their self-worth. This is the inner five. And so that when they have children, that gets passed down. Yeah. And so this is this kind of future benefit, the return on the investment that we make into whichever circle we choose to put that. Just know that it gets passed through generations. And, you know, that's quite exciting. It's like we just don't build their character today. We may build the character of generations to come. Which means, again, you know, there's a responsibility there as to where we put our energy. where we put our water. So yeah, that was my take home really, which was a mixture of what kind of both of you were reflecting back to me. And yeah, I think that's just important. It's a good session today, mate. Good session.
Yeah. As Circle. Always, gentlemen, yeah. This one's been good. So thank you again for tuning in and listening. And hopefully I've got plenty away from it. So hopefully the listeners, you've had plenty. So till next
mate,
time,
last
everyone.
One, here we go.
Oh,
when
okay.
things break, when things break, things open up. You know, like as Maddie said, you know, earlier, you know, things will come into your life to cause a shift, or you can have something come out of you. And sometimes we need things to pop into our life that kind of that give us a little bit of a hit, and we go, oh, hang on, what have I been thinking? And it causes us to think new and different. And this conversation wouldn't have come up if, you know, I hadn't had people in my life that had caused some charge last week. So when things break, things do open up.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Just on that, see, we're about to open up a two-hour podcast. Just on that, that's what we were talking about, Janesh. There's such a focus around safety and security now that if you don't break, if you don't, how does the light get in? How do you learn? How do you develop character? How do you develop resilience? You can't develop any of the things that people want to develop because they're avoiding the necessary environment for it to happen.
Mate, that's a whole nother podcast. I think, just again, I'm going to lead into that and maybe next time. But that's why I think we're creating a whole bunch of cookie cutter little people coming out into society. But that's we're going to end there because that's going to go into next week or next couple of weeks. Yes, we've just opened up a can. You can ponder that. Those that are just listening and not watching, Ben just signal a can and a whole bunch of worms coming out. But we'll take comments and suggestions or complaints. We're not fussy.
Yeah, we want more complaints.
Yeah.
Please.
If you haven't got complaints, you're not really speaking passionately enough. So we might turn it up a little bit. All right, everyone. Till next time. Thanks for listening.
See you, mates.
See ya.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Lifelong Learner. If you like this episode and want to know more and hear other episodes, head over to lifelonglearnerpodcast.com. where you can subscribe to our newsletter where you'll be the first to know when new podcast episodes come out. And if you want to say hello, tell us a joke, or ask us a question, send us an email at hello@lifelonglearnerpodcast.com. Thanks again.